Well, hey, whether you stumbled onto my podcast or you've been a longtime listener, I'm glad you're listening. What is this podcast all about? Well, it's about people just like me, just like you, about age 60, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, but you, like me, are trying to figure out how you're going to do life for this next 10, 20, 30 years. How are you going to stay healthy? What are you going to eat? Are you going to exercise? How are you going to do the things you really, really want to do in retirement? But most importantly, things that I think about go along these lines. How am I going to avoid assisted living? How am I going to maintain my independence? How am I going to enjoy life to its fullest until God says my time is done? Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Pushing 60 Aside with me, your host, Gene Fleming. I'm a certified fitness trainer, and I specialize in senior fitness, and also have a certification as a nutrition coach. Not to be confused with a nutritionist or a dietitian, because those are people that can medically diagnose or recommend what you should be eating and what you should not be eating. As a trainer, though, I'm oftentimes involved with people who are in the pursuit of having a better shape, more muscle, less weight, more stamina, better cardiovascular performance. And, you know, so it just stands to reason that when I'm working with them and they say, hey, Gene, what do I need to be eating? How much protein do I need to be eating? Do I need to be using electrolytes? You know, simple questions like that. Yeah, I can pretty much help them by telling them perhaps what maybe I would do if I were them, but I can't ever write it down and say specifically, you must eat like this, you must drink like this, you must. Now, I can prescribe the exercise all day long, but anyway, that's just a brief intro. I'm glad you're listening. We've got listeners all over the world. At last count, we were heard in as many as 31 countries, and I'm kind of blown away by that because, where else can you, go online and reach such a wide audience, even internationally? I will tell you this, most of our listeners are in the United States, and that makes sense because I'm in the United States, and we have a good many listeners in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and in the United Kingdom. And so I'm thankful for all of you that have listened on the audio podcast. And as you can tell by now, it looks like I'm telling two stories at the same time because I kind of am. I'm recording the audio portion of this strictly for the Pushing 60 Aside podcast. And I've started putting video copies of the podcast out on YouTube. And why would I do that? Isn't a podcast enough? I mean, how much more do I need to put on my plate at age 65? Well, really, once you hit record and record, it's pretty fundamental. I mean, the story, the lesson, the talk is what it is. The only difference is some people have no problem going to YouTube and watching a video, but the whole concept of listening to podcast really hasn't settled in very well with the senior population. What's a podcast? And oftentimes I tell them it's kind of like listening to an old-fashioned radio show, perhaps, where you had a talker, you know, somebody being interviewed, something like that. And then I talk about, you know, issues that are relevant to seniors. To wit, not to be distracted by my own gift of gab, what are we going to talk about tonight? And I want to tell you about an adventure my wife and I have been on for probably about a year and a half now. And it probably started back during the period when we were doing stay at home and things like that. We needed something to do because we were bored out of our skulls. So we played video games and we did some projects around the house and we planned some other projects. And one of the things that she got really into, and it's two different things, and they kind of intertwine, but one of them is called minimalism, and that's a kind of a mindset that's sweeping across the country where people are trying to live less lavishly. And then there's another mindset, or a, you can almost call it a science, that has to do with decluttering. And so my wife has struck out on this plan to declutter our home. And sometimes we don't think our homes are cluttered, but just let me need to find that special Allen wrench that came with this desk right here when I assembled it. And it could be anywhere from 1 to 5 places, you know, and probably will not be in my toolbox because I probably put it in a drawer somewhere. So my wife has started organizing, and no, men right now are having panic attacks, and maybe if the man's going to be the one that does the organizing and the decluttering, maybe the woman in the relationship is having a panic attack. But do not panic. This week while we were talking, I said to her, you know, it would seem to me that a cluttered house, too much stuff, would lead to a cluttered mind and possibly a cluttered life. And not to be offensive or to offend anybody in saying that, but consider this. Think about that one room in your house, maybe your garage, maybe your laundry room, maybe a clothes closet, maybe a bathroom, where there's so much stuff in there that every time you need something from that specific room, it's like an Easter egg hunt in the Amazon forest. I know I do that, most recently with a 10 millimeter socket that should have been with the other sockets that were metric, but I had used it on a repair job on a lawnmower, and then I put it in another place. And guess what? When I finally found it, there were 4 other 10 millimeter sockets and 2 10 millimeter wrenches in that same place. There's a lesson to be learned in that. So anyway, how did my wife start this thing of decluttering our life? And why would we do that? Well, let's get to some of the whys first. We have a lot of stuff. Okay, she got married when she was 19. I first got married when I was 23. We subsequently went through divorce and remarriage, and we ended up together, and we've been together for 18 years, almost to the month. And so throughout our lives and our careers and our travels and everything else, we had amassed a lot of stuff. Well, 13 years ago, when we moved from the Gulf Coast of Alabama up north, northeast Alabama, to the city and the county of Fort Payne in DeKalb County, Alabama. So we're right up next to Tennessee and right next to Georgia. That's where we are in Alabama, if you wondered. Well, I had moved stuff in boxes from my military days. And at that time, you know, I was, when we got married, I was like, I don't know, 50? Oh gosh, I must have been 47 or so. So, but I had had boxes that had moved from Alaska to Pensacola, Florida, to Iceland, back to Pensacola, Florida, to California, to Washington State, and some of that stuff I had not unpacked since I was stationed at Guam in 1979, but I just kept moving it because it was stuff I wasn't using. Well, before we moved from the Gulf Coast to northeast Alabama, I called a company and had a dumpster delivered to our house, and it was probably one of the smartest things I ever did because I didn't want to move all this stuff yet one more time, and I wasn't even sure what was in the boxes, and so that required that me break the seals, open them up, and go through them piece by piece. And I would take an empty box and I would go through a sealed box. And if it was anything that I really needed to have for sentimental reasons or nostalgic reasons or any other reason, I would set it aside in a keep pile Everything else that I hadn't used was worn out, was no good, was, you know, outdated, whatever it was. It went in the box and subsequently went into the dumpster. And I had about 50 boxes and a couple of trunks of stuff, just stuff. And I didn't know what it all was. I had to literally go through piece by piece. You know, I found a box that must have had 150 pairs of black socks in it. I don't know what I did during my Navy days, but must have been every time I went to the uniform shop, I bought a few new pairs of socks, you know, and I wouldn't throw them away because they wouldn't wear out. And gosh, well, that's just one thing. And I had underwear and I had t-shirts and I had workout clothes and I had odds and ends and the cables. Oh my gosh, the cables that went with all the computers that I bought over the years and the VCRs and all this stuff and extension cords. You know, I had enough copper wire in those boxes probably to build a house. That's how much literally in those boxes of stuff. Plus there was paperwork. There were certificates. There were Navy awards. There were courses that I'd taken that I'd completed. There was college textbooks. There was just tons and tons of stuff and literally tons and tons of stuff. And so piece by piece, I went through it. And, you know, by the time we were done with this building, this mother-in-law apartment that we had at our old house, by the time I had finished that stuff, that dumpster was half full. And I'm not talking about a small dumpster. I'm talking about a long construction dumpster, and it was half full of stuff. And I had stuff from my farming days. I used to have a feed store, and I had chicken waterers and feeders and knickknacks and tractor supplies, and some of it was salvageable, some of it was not, because when we moved here, I wasn't going to own a tractor anymore. Some of that stuff could have been listed on eBay, and I'm sure we listed some, but, you know, the urgency with the move, basically, we wanted to keep what was good, rebox it, and get it ready to come north, and there probably wasn't but three or four boxes full of stuff, and most of that was my memorabilia from my Navy days. So that was the first time we ever started purposefully decluttering our assets, because we had too much stuff. I know this, if we still had all that stuff, we wouldn't have but two bedrooms in this three-bedroom house, and the garage and the workshop would be inaccessible. Just too much stuff. When we bought this house 6 years ago, once again, we went through a decluttering process, and part of what we did was we did yard sales and we did eBay. And we got, and the way our yard sales work, we get down toward the end of our window that Saturday or Friday and Saturday that we were doing it. And the last people that came, we gave the stuff away. We just gave it away to get rid of it. It didn't matter if it was worth $10 or $0, we gave it away. That can be hard for a lot of people because, you know, you've got that glass that's always been in your kitchen cabinet, but you got 25 glasses. And now it's down to just my wife and me. How many glasses do we need, say, in the course of a normal day? Two? Three at most? So maximum six between the two of us? And most of the time, I'd drink out of a... I drink bottled water most of the time, so I very rarely use a glass anymore. We had a collection of coffee cups. Some of them were sentimental, some of them were souvenirs, some of them were gifts, but we probably had 50 coffee cups. Where are we going to put all that stuff? So we started getting rid of it piece by piece, sale by sale, and we probably did three yard sales and eliminated things that we did not use, and part of that was fitness equipment. That's right. I sold my treadmill and my rowing machine. They took up a lot of space, and really, since I had gym memberships, why did I need a treadmill at the gym and a treadmill at the house? You know, it's not like I had to be in the elements at the gym. I was inside in air conditioning with other people, and there were plenty of treadmills, so we had to let that go. But talking to you, the senior who's listening to this, what I want you to think about also in this process of decluttering your house is that my wife and I are realists. We're realists. We're thinking about when our days on this earth come to an end. We're not trying to rush there, mind you, but we're thinking about that time, and we're talking through what it's going to be like for our four daughters to go through this house and decide what to do with all of our stuff, because there's still a lot of it. We have a big living room. We have a small den. We have this office room that I'm in, which also has a sofa and a television. You know, so apparently we live to watch television. I don't know, but we play games on these screens and stuff like that. And these windows here and here look out over the lake. So it's, you know, this is one of the best rooms in the house to sit in. So sometimes we just come and sit back here and read, things like that. But we got to thinking about, okay, if I were my daughter and I walked into this room and Dad is gone, and what do I want? What is sentimental to me? What do I recognize from years gone by? What tells a story about Dad? And what would be meaningful to me? And this is my daughter talking. What would be meaningful to me as a keepsake of my dad? We started looking at stuff like that, and in order to help us declutter our entire home, we've started gifting things that are of sentimental value to our children now. We're not going to wait until we take our last breath, and then a week later, they're up here having to claw through everything that we've got and decide amongst themselves who gets what. And, you know, it's unpleasant to talk about, but it happens in every family. And if your parents are passed, you've probably gone through something like that yourself, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not easy. And then one of the things we wanted to avoid for them was the decision making. So if they come in and they go through some storage boxes that I have, and they find in there my transcripts from college, that's not sentimental. It's just paperwork. If they find our old tax returns, that's not sentimental. That's garbage. It's trash. It needs to be discarded. Most of the furniture in this house, by then, we'll be 20 years older and probably quite worn, and they've got their own furniture. I mean, they're successful grown women. They don't need to wait for mom and dad to die to come get a good piece of furniture. Now, we do have some antiques and a few collectibles, and they may not want them, but our decision at this time is we're getting rid of all the trash, the junk, the non-sentimental stuff, and getting our house trimmed down for more than one reason. One, to make it easier on them when we're gone, because they're going to have to do a lot of sorting and tossing. We hope that when we're gone, they'll be able to call in what are those people called? Oh, they come in and they sell your estate. When you're gone, they have an open house and people come through, and they broker the sale of all your tables, your chairs, your knickknacks, your guns, guitars, pianos, whatever it is that you have, your televisions, anything that's left in the house that the kids didn't want. Those folks go through and they manage a sale for a couple of days, and whatever doesn't sell, I guess goes to charity, or maybe they take it and try to sell it themselves. I don't know. I've not been into that yet. So, but I don't want our daughters to have to spend a lot of time laboring for the things they always wanted that are sentimental to them. So we're gifting them those items now while they're still able to hear the story about that item in our house when we talk. Does that make sense? Sure it does. Sure it does. Another reason we're decluttering is because it's bad enough that we have three dogs in this house. Granted, it's over 2,500 square feet, so there's plenty of room for my wife, me, and the dogs. And too much furniture and too much stuff that's hard to find. And it's not because we're old and we've got some type of dementia or anything. We're just like you, just like ordinary people that we put things somewhere with good intentions, or maybe in a moment of laziness, we just tuck it. I'm a guy that stacks and tucks. So if you went into the small bedroom over here where I get dressed, that's where my clothes closet is, and looked at my valet, it is stacked full of mostly junk. And in the drawers on that valet is more junk. There's probably five chapsticks in there, and there's pocket knives, and there's buttons that came off pants sometime in the past. And I said, I'll put that on that back pocket one of these days. Threw it in the valet. There's business cards, there's pens, pencils, there's ointments, Aquaphor, for little scaly patches of skin on the back of my hand or whatever. But I stack. And so what we're doing is we're going through the stacks and the collection spots, and we're deciding what's trash, what's sentimental, what do we need to keep and be able to find. And we're organizing just like that. I can't really take the camera down because it would be too much of a disruption right now. But behind me, maybe I can move aside. If this all falls down, it's my fault. Back here in, oh, I was going to try this. Back here in this old bookshelf, there's a series of baskets that have labels on them. And those labels tell me exactly what's in them. These are video game supplies for our Switch systems. Down here below that are podcast supplies. When I get done with this podcast tonight, there went the mic. I knew something was going to fall. When I get done with the podcast tonight, all this stuff will be wrapped up and it'll go back into that basket. Next week, when I come in to do another podcast, guess what? All my supplies will be right there in one spot. And even if I don't have my glasses on, I can look down there and it says podcast supplies in letters that are about that big. I could see them in a darkened room. It's that good. But part of the reason we're decluttering is for safety's sake. And some of the things that we're getting rid of in our home to help prevent falls in our home is area rugs. Unless they're big, like Persian carpet rugs that cover the room, small rugs, they're out. Our dogs run across them, roll them up sometimes. That's a trip hazard. It may not be a trip hazard in the middle of the day, but late at night, should I have to go out to one of the front rooms or something, I just might not see it and might go splat face into the refrigerator or a wall. So we're thinking about decluttering for convenience, for safety, for ease of finding things. It's kind of like having a card catalog in the old a Dewey Decimal System back in the old library, where you could look and see where something was supposed to be. And now things that are alike, like these podcast supplies and these video game supplies, they're right here together. And so if I need any one of those things, I go to where it's going to be. There's some exceptions to this now. You know what a Tide pin is, a laundry pin is, where you get a stain on your shirt and you can just rub it? Well, most often we discover those or we know about them after we've had a food spill or something on our clothing. And so we're often in the small den next to the kitchen. And so we put that in a junk drawer that's next to our pantry, where there's a small assortment of screwdrivers and pliers and matches, you know, things that you might need. That's where all the real business cards from contractors and doctors and things like that, they're in a stack in there, easily accessible. That's where the bag clips for the potato chips stay, right there. Now, isn't that odd? We've got these clips that go on chips or cereal bags right in the same drawer as the Tide pin. Why? Because time taught us that when we get a stain, it probably happened in the kitchen. We're in the kitchen. That's the drawer in the kitchen where oddities go. It makes sense, right? So, you know, and maybe we might be able to save this old golf shirt for another round. Who knows? But we've also gotten rid of as many extension cords as we possibly can. Okay, we've also, in the name of safety, and this is not decluttering necessarily, we've also undertaken to make sure that our external lighting, front porch, all the way around the house, when I flip the lights on, if anything or anybody's out there, they're probably getting their picture taken on one of our security cameras. Is that paranoid in this day and age? No, it's just smart. You walk up on my front porch, I've got your picture. And people know that, you know, even thieves know that these days. So as we've progressed room by room, we have probably taken at this point, I'm going to safely say, about 12 mini SUVs full of stuff to a thrift store, a charity. And it's been clothing, it's been shoes, it's been those excess socks that I tend to collect because, you know, I'm a runner and a junkie. If I get in a place that's got some cool socks, I'm going to buy me a new pair of socks. And so anyway, all that kind of stuff. We had some furniture even that had been in, that had been re-gifted to me years ago. We don't need 25 end tables. You know, we need about 6 of them, maybe 7 tops. Bedside tables, we only need 1 beside the bed, you know. So we had some excess stuff. We got rid of that too because it was just smart. Now it's easier to vacuum in these rooms. It's easier to mop in the places where we took up the throw rugs. And they were convenient and they were cute because they were seasonal. So we had Santa at Christmas and turkeys at Thanksgiving and spring-looking stuff in the spring. But we've donated all that stuff. The mindset in the donation thing is that we have an excess and we don't need any more. So why not take this perfectly serviceable, nice, not worn out stuff and gift it to a charity that'll resell it for pennies on the dollar to somebody that's really struggling and having a hard time making it. They could use a rug. They could use an extension cord. They could use that extra set of sheets that that we're never going to use. And recently, it's kind of weird, but, you know, because we've been married 18 years, and we had been alive and living in homes and apartments and military bases and all that all those years, we had a collection, a hodgepodge of bath towels that did not match and had been around, some of them, 20 years. But we had so many towels, they never got worn out and they rarely ever got used. We donated all of those to a local pet groomer when she put out a call for help. She needed towels to help dry the dogs. So I took her a stack of bags that must have weighed 25 or 30, a stack of towels that must have weighed 25 pounds, at least. So, as you continue to age, we want to try and avoid additional clutter and avoid my habit of stacking. Now, you can't see it, maybe you can. There's a box right here. I'm gonna try and pick this up and show you. This box right here, it's a plastic desktop tray, and it has a label on it. You won't be able to read it, it'll be backward. It says, "Time will tell." These are things that we need to look at again in the near future. Sometimes maybe we returned an item and we want to make sure it clears on that credit or debit card, and so we hold on to the receipts here, and time will tell. But as soon as these things are no longer needed, they go right over here in the corner in a shredder because there's no sense keeping that stuff forever. So, are we really strict about this? No, we're really flexible about it, and we've taken it one room at a time. She's done with her room and her closets. I'm working on my closets. So far, I've managed to donate about 30 very usable, not worn out, not sweaty, not ugly t-shirts and golf shirts and gym shorts and things like that that I just can't possibly use anymore. And not to make it worth it. If I were working in a gym every day and doing really sweaty work every day, I might need 10 pairs of gym shorts. I'm not doing that. I'm teaching two exercise classes 3 days a week. So I don't need all those gym shorts. Donate, donate, donate. And feel good about it that some kid, some college student, some high school student that needs a good pair of running shorts can get them there for a buck. So we're doing that. We're decluttering to help our kids in the long run so they won't have to go through all this mess and order a dumpster to clean out this house when the time comes. We're going to put their minds at ease. Don't feel like you have to take everything in this house. Let it go to the estate sale, and whatever profit you make out of that, split it between y'all. It turns out as we get older, some of the stuff we held on to, we found out we're not quite so sentimental about it anymore. Maybe it was special that Christmas in 1985, but here in 2023, it's just not special anymore. And even though it might be valuable, it needs to be gifted, donated, or thrown away, because there's only a few categories of what things fall into in this decluttering process. Mainly, I want to make my life as I continue to age easier, that when I've got to do any small task around the house, the vacuum cleaner is right where it's supposed to be, and I don't have to dig for it. The suit that I need for a funeral is right where I can find it in my closet, not smashed in between a bunch of cold weather jackets and sweaters and other stuff, things like that. I'm trying to make things easier, not harder. One of the things I had to do was I had to get rid of my excess of shoes. Some of these shoes that I wear, I can get about 300 to 500 miles out of running, jogging, walking. And when I get there, they're not really worn out, but they're 3 or 4 months old, and they've served their purpose and their time. They're starting to lose their shock absorbing qualities, and they still look okay. They'd be perfect for a kid to wear to school. And so I donated about, I'm gonna say probably about 10 pairs of name brand tennis shoes to this thrift store. There are always people looking for shoes. So, do I miss them? Nah, I've got some brand new ones that that I'm wearing to teach in now, and those are just fine. So, why am I talking about this? Clutter tends to cause us stress. sometimes we don't even realize it causes us stress, but you know that frustration you have when you're looking for something and you cannot find it, and you thought you put it over here, or surely it'd be in that drawer over there, or up on that shelf up there, and you tear the room up looking for it and you can't find it. This decluttering process is eliminating that, because everything now is in the first place we would look. Is that genius or what? I think it is. Where am I going to look for my podcast stuff? Right here in this basket. Where am I going to look for my video game supplies? Right here in the basket right above it. And there's another basket down there. And our pantry is done the same way. You wouldn't believe that. I've got a section of our kitchen cabinets that's all mine. Because I use a lot of health food stuff and supplements, you know. And I routinely stock up pretty good. So I've got three shelves going up. But my wife has taken bins and created convenient slots. Now, it seems like micromanagement at first, but once you get used to it, if I need a protein cookie or a protein bar, guess what? I open the pantry. There's a plastic bin that pulls out just like this. There's a label on the end that says protein bars. Pow! Bar. Eat them up. Yum, yum. And how about our over-the-counter medications like Tylenol, Advil, Benadryl, loratadine, since it is pollen season? It's in a drawer down here called OTC meds, over-the-counter meds. That's where you'll find the stuff for indigestion and for colds and all that kind of stuff. But it's all right there together. But it's not in a moisture-filled bathroom that can corrupt some of those drugs. So that's smart, you know. So where am I going to go if I got a headache? I'm going to go to Jean's cabinet, reach down here to the drawer that says over-the-counter medications, pull it out, get the Advil bottle and pop one, and hopefully I won't be such a grumpy Gus in about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm trying to prepare now to make my life easier in the years to come, and this decluttering process is part of it. So where do we go from here? We've done kitchen, we've done bathrooms, we've done laundry room and pantry, we've done the bedrooms. We've mostly done all the closets, the closet in here, both closets in that room, closet in that room, but we're working our way through these systematically. And do you know, I had two severe weather parkas in royal blue with hoods that probably hadn't been worn in cold weather, but maybe one time each. How many parkas do I need? Donated one. $129 parka. But it's worthless sitting in a closet when it could help somebody who could really use a good jacket this winter, next winter. So we're doing that. So what's next? You know, well, we've done quite a bit of work in the yard. We've made the shrubs and everything around our house such that we have space to get between them and the bricks, the walls. We've cleaned up the front porch to where we've got really stable chairs out there that do not blow off when the wind picks up. The next projects we're going to work on is my workshop, which is a living nightmare. It's a small space. It's about 5 feet across and about 12 feet long. It has a workbench in it. And I told you I was a stacker, right? Yeah, I sure did. So in there, there's just globs of tools on this workbench, and there's drills, and there's sanders, and there's saws, and there's a vise, and there's chemicals, lubricants. There's shelving behind me with spray paints and other stuff. So the next project is we're going to declutter that shop. And that's probably going to be about a 3-day project, because I do not need 5 10-millimeter wrenches. I just don't. First of all, I do very little mechanic work. And rather than having them scattered in the garage and all over that shop, they're going to be in one central box or toolbox that says metric wrenches, etc., and sockets on the end of it. So if I'm looking for that, it's going to be in one spot to where I'm not going from the garage to the shop, to the shop, to the garage, to the back of the garage, looking in old toolboxes, trying to find stuff I need. So I mentioned the garage. You've all known those people who have garages they can't put their cars in. And their bicycles, the kids' bicycles are still out in the yard because there's no more room in the garage. That's because they didn't get rid of their boxes, you know, years and years ago, and they kept collecting stuff. And there's Christmas decorations, and there's other holiday decorations, and there's stuff from the children when they were in school, projects they did, you know. So next we do the shop, and then the last thing we're going to do is the garage. And when I do the garage, I'm going to pull every stinking thing out of that garage. And it's going to have to be a couple of clear days because I'm either going to put it on the carport or in the yard. And when I get it down to bare bones, I'm going to clean it. And then I'm going to refashion that garage. Maybe I'll put pictures on my Facebook group or even on this YouTube and show you the before and the after. Because I do have a riding lawnmower. I have a weight bench out there. I have a pressure washer. I have a push mower. I have a big red Craftsman toolbox like every guy wanted in the 80s and 90s. Now I got one of those. And it's full of, you guessed it, lots of stuff. And lots of junk, you know, partial packets of screws in there, partially used boxes of nails in there, washers, plumbing supplies, junk, junk, and more junk. I got cans of paint out there on shelves that got froze down to 8 degrees this past winter. They're likely never going to be usable. They got to go. Then the tools I do have left are going to be systematically organized to where they're easy to find. That's what we're doing. We're trying to work now to make life easier when I'm 75 or 80, because the last thing I need to be doing is climbing around, stepping up on 5-gallon buckets, trying to get ruined paint down to use for a project, and then fall and crack my skull or break a hip or something. Anyway, so the topic today was declutter your house, declutter your life, declutter your mind. Get rid of the anxiety that you have from time to time because you can't find the things you need. And most of the reasons why we can't find the things we need is because we have too much stuff. Hey, this was different. We didn't talk all about fitness and sweating and making muscles and keeping our balance and all of that today. But we talked about something that's equally important, and that's decluttering our lives and reducing our stress and increasing our safety level in the homes we live in. And if I can stay safe and not get injured, my kids are not going to say, "Dad, Dad, it's time for you to go to assisted living. And you're never going to drive again." I don't want to hear that. Now, I don't want to be a road hazard either, but I don't want to rush that process. I want to have a safe place to live where I can take care of myself as best I can until my life is done. And then when I'm gone, I don't want this to be a hot mess that my kids have to plow through to try to figure out, well, was this important? Was that important? Well, what about this? You know, give them the good stuff now that they really want, that's in their hearts, fond memories and things like that. We'll declutter this house and we'll have a safer place to live. Until next podcast, this is Gene Fleming on the Pushing 60 Aside podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the podcast, telling your friends about, hey, I know this 65-year-old guy talks about pretty good stuff, or those of us that are about to retire or already have retired. everything that has to do with senior fitness. And this type of topic today just happened to be decluttering your life. Oh, and I forgot one thing. You can declutter your car or truck or SUV too. That's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do, because if you're an old guy like me that had a truck with a toolbox on the back of it, Lord only knows what ended up in that toolbox over the years. When I cleaned mine out 5 years ago, well, I sold the truck. I had to clean the toolbox out. Oh my gosh, the stuff that was in there. I mean, there was ropes and twines and bolts and nails that were this long. I kid you not, they were 8-9 inch nails that I had used on some landscaping project at some time. You know, I saved what could be saved. The rest of it was all trash, and in the trash it went. So until next time, may the good Lord bless you. I hope you have a great week.